The New Testament reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, starting to read at verse 25. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." May God bless the public reading of his word. The topic I want to talk about this morning is substitutional atonement. Now, I hate people who use big theological terms to make themselves look intelligent. So let me explain what that one means. Substitutional atonement is simply Jesus dying on the cross when I should have been dying on the cross in order that I can get right with God. Now, I want to start by looking in the Old Testament. Some people have the view that the Old Testament isn't worth reading. You should just read the New Testament because it's all about Jesus, and Jesus kind of superseded the Old Testament anyway, and the Old Testament is boring and contains all kinds of irrelevant stuff. And I have a certain sympathy with that view, but the way I look at the Bible is like an oil painting, and the New Testament are the characters that you see in the foreground, but the Old Testament is the background, and without having the background there, there's no real context for the characters at the front. And so to really understand the New Testament, you need to understand the Old Testament. And so I want to start by looking at how atonement, a friend of mine defined as at one meant, means getting right with God, being right with God. I think he was a primary school teacher and was just really teaching spelling. But in the Old Testament, we read about sacrifice for atonement. And so the Old Testament reading is taken from Leviticus chapter 4, starting to read at verse 27. "If any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, when they realize their guilt and the sin they have committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed a female goat without defect. They are to lay their hand on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way the priest will make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. If someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hand on its head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering, with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar in the top of the food offering presented to the Lord. In this way the priest will make atonement for them, for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. In Leviticus 5 it says, anyone who cannot afford a lamb is to bring two doves or two young pigeons to the Lord as a penalty for their sin, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. When we think of the characteristics of God, we like to think of God as a loving God, and his other characteristics, such as his holiness, God is judge, and God is righteous, are things that maybe sit less comfortably nowadays, and yet they are equally characteristics of God. God as a holy God cannot look upon sin, and sin is the thing that separates us from God. In the Old Testament, before Jesus, the only way to get right with God was to sacrifice an animal. The animal was taken, if you want, the punishment for your sin, so that you could become right with God again. And I've got to be honest, I would have run out of sheep, I think, because it must have been terrible. Every time you do something wrong, you have to sacrifice an animal. And that, in the Old Testament, was the only way to get right with God. Now, before I go to speak about Jesus, I just want to look at another Old Testament passage, which is the story of Abraham and his son. Abraham had waited 100 years for a son, and his son has now grown up, and God has asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Genesis chapter 22, starting to read at verse 2. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. It's interesting, Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice. Jesus carried the wood of the cross for his sacrifice. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord Will Provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. It's prophetically looking forward. It is through Jesus that all nations on the earth will be blessed. Abraham did not withhold his own son, and God did not withhold his son. God's son being sacrificed was eventually going to bless all nations on the earth. So going to the New Testament now, what did John the Baptist say the first time that he saw Jesus? He said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Find it in John chapter 1, starting to read verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him, But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day John was again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Jesus, the Lamb of God, our sacrifice. The Son of God sacrificed on the cross to take away our sins, for atonement for our sins, that we can come back to be with God. Now, you may have seen the illustration of the book on a hand. So if I say that I am standing here and God is up there somewhere, which is an illustration only, God is everywhere, obviously, but if God is up there, I am here, and on my left hand, this is me, I place a book representing my sin, then I cannot get to God. My sin blocks me off from reaching up to God. And Jesus was perfect. He was never separated from God. So if my right hand represents Jesus, Jesus could always get up to God. But on the cross, what happened was an exchange. And I passed the book from my left hand to my right hand. And Jesus now has taken my sin on the cross and is blocked off from God. That is why on the cross, we read it previously in Mark chapter 15, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For the first time in his life, he was cut off from access to God because of my sin and yours, which he took on the cross. But now look at the left hand. There's nothing now blocking me from access to God. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He took my sin and yours on the cross. He was blocked off from God because of that sin. And I and you now have access to God. And it was illustrated even more dramatically at the end of that passage. I didn't read it, but in the Old Testament, Leviticus 16, it talks about how the priest can get into the Holy of Holies. Now, the tabernacle in the wilderness, which eventually became the temple, was subdivided into various courts. And the closer you got to the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God dwelt, the more sanctified, the more holy you needed to be. And so to get inside to the Ark of the Covenant, there was a very thick curtain that blocked it off in the temple, and one priest once a month was allowed through that curtain. But before they did, there was another sacrifice of an animal and sprinkling of blood and the whole ritual again, so that you had to be absolutely right with God before you dare go behind that curtain into the Holy of Holies to be in God's presence. And in Mark chapter 15 verse 38 it says, "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Significant. That curtain is very tall. A man can't reach the top of it. So if a man was going to tear it, they would tear it from the bottom. It was torn from the top to the bottom. God tore the curtain in half. It's symbolic. It says that you and I now have access into the Holy of Holies, into God's very presence. That is what Jesus achieved on the cross. He died to take our sins as a sacrificial lamb so that we can come into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Let me just read a few more Bible passages that talk of what Jesus achieved on the cross. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin." Now, I'm told by people who do Greek that the verb there is a continuous present tense, and so I might translate it as, "And the blood of Jesus his Son continually purifies us from all sin." That is what the sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross did. Continually purifies us from all sin. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now, redemption is buying something back. If I go to a pawn shop and pawn my jewellery, when I want to get it back, that is called redeeming it. I go and buy it back. I redeem my jewellery. We were redeemed out of the hand of the evil one by the blood of Jesus. We were bought back to God with a price that no one else could pay. Only Jesus could do it. In Romans 5:9 it says this: since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Justification. Someone has defined that as being just as if I'd never sinned. It's as if my sins are continually being purified, taken away. I've been bought back, and then God has forgotten all my past sins, or chooses not to remember them, I think the Bible says. Just as if I'd never sinned. God chooses not to remember my sins. And then finally, Hebrews 10:10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once for all. Sanctification is the process of being made holy. The vessels in the temple were sanctified. They were made holy, set apart for God's use. And we have been made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus. We are set apart for God's use. And so that leads us into communion. And as we take communion, as we take the bread and drink the wine, we remember Christ's sacrifice for us and the power of his blood to cleanse us from all sin, to sanctify us, to justify us, to redeem us.